executive session?
I make a motion to go out of executive session. Need a second?
I'll second that.
The motion has been made and seconded. Seeing no... Is there any objection? Seeing none, I now call this meeting to order. Madam Clerk, do we have a quorum?
Yes, Madam President, we have a quorum with all members present except Member Ole Larson, who is attending telephonically.
No.
Or not.
No.
Is not.
He has an excused absence. Thank you. Dr. Welton, will you please read the board goals?
Thank you. Matanuska Susitna Borough School District vision, mission, beliefs, goals, and principles. Matsu Borough School District will be a model of excellence in teaching, learning, and engaging all students. Mission, Matsu Borough School District prepares all students for success. Beliefs. We believe that the needs and best interests of students drive all decisions. All students can and want to learn. Educational choices and community participation are essential to student success. Our goals. Improve student success, achievement, and performance. Develop excellent educators and leaders. Use innovative practices to improve the education system. Include families and community members in the education of our students. Promote safe and healthy environments for all. Our guiding principles. Our guiding principles will drive our decisions and our responsibility to our students, families, and community. Stewardship, accountability, empathy, quality, integrity, respect, collaboration, and commitment.
Thank you. I'd now like to ask Principal Dan Michael of Sherrod Elementary to lead us in the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Would someone please make a motion to approve the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. Is there any objection? Seeing none, we will now hear from those who would like to be heard on non-agenda items. Madam Clerk, would you please read the rules?
Yes. Under the agenda items, persons to be heard on non-agenda items, the following guidelines apply. The speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comment should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-aged children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard or may be handled in executive session or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement. Maximum of 1 hour per meeting, and we have no one signed up on the list.
Is there anyone in the audience at this time that would like to come forward and address the board on a non-agenda item? Seeing none, we will move ahead. Borough and city reports. I do not see Mayor Cottle nor Manager Nathan Wallace from the City of Palmer in the audience, so we will move ahead to administrative reports. I will turn it over now to Assistant Superintendent Amy Spargo.
Good evening, Dr. Dearman, members of the board.
Jillian's going to help me out here with the PowerPoint. So we're talking tonight about school board objective, or school board goal number 4, and this one speaks to your priority that you've set regarding parents in the community and the education of our students. Goal number 4, including families and community members in the education of our student, and really the Office of Instruction has focused on 2 major components of this goal. One is increasing communication with parents and families regarding choice and regarding student progress. And we know that our school district is a model of school choice and that we have lots of options for students. And we appreciate your guidance that that message has not permeated out to the community. How many great things are happening in the Matsubara School District, and that we know parents are the key to their child's success, and that if the more parents know, the more able they are to support their efforts in school. So when we talk about communicating our choice options, we have taken steps to promote our online learning, and if you look on our new district website, there's a specific tab for online learning that highlights our APEX and eDynamic courses for high school students, and we're seeing more middle school students also being involved in those courses. Matsu Middle College, Blended Academy, Matsu Career and Tech High School, Career and Tech District courses, and of course the difference between Matsu Career and Tech High School and the district courses is that they have a full-time program. It's a magnet program for full-time students, and then also part-time students can go there for specific career pathways from all over the district, and we have transportation for that. Last week, Executive Director Ainsworth talked about ANSEP Acceleration High School and the dual enrollment opportunities happening there. We also are really proud of our traditional schools that have specific options and choices within them. For example, the Coding Academy at Wasilla Middle. We have JROTC at multiple schools. And we know that a lot of our homeschool students participate in courses in our traditional schools like physics and calculus and courses that are a little more difficult to do independently. We're also very proud of our public charter schools and are grateful that our students have so many options there. We know that we're an overcrowded school district and that we wouldn't really have room for all those kids if we didn't have all these great choices. And then we also run multiple summer schools. How are we reaching this goal? Well, you've seen our new district website, and we're working with our schools to get their individual sites to promote all these district options, social media. We've had a lot of people on Radio Free Palmer. We go once a week, and we've been highlighting all these different choices and all these different ways parents can be involved there. Some of you may have gotten, if you're a parent, emails and Blackboard Connects related to progress reports and report cards. There was a concern at the board retreat that some of those dates weren't getting out electronically, and we just want parents to know when to look for those things coming home, so we've started that practice. We've had a kindergarten fair for a while at our district, but we're also having a high school fair, and I'll highlight that on the end, but that's going to be an exciting time for all the high schools to showcase the unique aspects that they have in their school. Lastly, and this is part of the superintendent's objectives related to this goal number 4, we have been out at community meetings really talking about our district and sharing the good things that are going on and also listening, just listening to feedback and listening to ways that we can improve. And next school board meeting on the 15th, Dr. Goyette will be back and she will talk about some of the other activities that she has done in the community and really furthered to increase understanding and involvement in our school district. When it comes to monitoring student progress, our schools have worked at training on iParent, and really we've worked on making sure every single secondary student has an iStudent account this year, and that seems to be going well, where students can monitor their own grades. We've done training with our principals on students setting goals using MAP, and then students doing student-led conferences. So just this last week, we had parent conferences, and students were able to articulate what their performance was on MAP and how they hope to grow in many of our sites, and we're continuing to work on that process. We know that when students are able to understand where they're at and where to go, that they're more motivated to own their own learning. I mentioned the Blackboard Connects, and we've also been working on updating all of our academic calendars on our site websites and making sure that that's been getting out. I want to end by just mentioning the High School Information Fair. It's happening November 8th, and it's going to be in this room right here. And we have all the high schools coming. Executive Director Reese Everett is facilitating this project, and he's all in. We've got everybody coming, and I think it's going to be a good time for all, and we really are excited and hope to see the public come out for that High School Information Fair. Is there any questions? All right, thank you. Assistant Superintendent, I forget that I'm supposed to do that part too. Assistant Superintendent Luke Fulp will also speak to the business services elements of Board Goal 4.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to just go over the Board Goal number 4's objectives as they pertain to business and operations areas. So I will just follow in Ms. Spargo's footsteps here with talking about community partnerships and what that means for us. The way that business and operations is supporting these initiatives on our end is really through the website. So we're going to talk about three different ways in which we're supporting community outreach through the website. The first of which is we've just underwent a recent website upgrade, and is a pretty significant upgrade, so we want to speak about that. Not only just the rollout of it and the work that went in behind the scenes to make sure that that was a smooth rollout, but also talking about the new features. Probably the biggest feature is that this the new website tool relies on a responsive website design. So what is a responsive website design? And I think that's critical kind of to where we're at today with all of the different devices that folks use to access information. So a responsive website looks good on all devices, on desktops, tablets, and smartphones. It uses programming language such as HTML to resize, hide, shrink, scale, enlarge, or move the content to make it look good on any screen. So where we used to have a different interface for our website, when you went there, you would see a different interface. It looked very different than our regular desktop view. Now you can kind of get the same content and look on your phone, on your tablet, on your desktop, and so it looks a lot cleaner. And that's what they call responsive. So that's a huge benefit to the new website design. The other thing is, in terms of features and capabilities, is that it offers all of the ADA compliance needs that we have as a school system. So this new website tool will offers features and capabilities that will allow the district to make the web content more accessible to people with disabilities. And that would primarily be captions for any videos, as well as an audio component for any material that otherwise would be read. So there's lots of ways that we can make this ADA compliant, in which we know that those things are necessary for accessibility of website content for the public. And then lastly, it offers improved messaging capabilities, not just for the school system, the whole district. We have a new mass notification system that replaces our Blackboard Connect Connect Ed feature. This new mass notification has more features intertwined in it, as along with templates, but it also offers messaging capabilities for new and enhanced messaging capabilities for teachers and their classrooms. So we are going to look to utilize all of those features and really promote the website as a useful tool to communicate and interact with members of the public. The last thing on the slide here at the bottom, you can see the timeline, an implementation and timeline for the go live for the website. The only thing I want to point out with this is it was very deliberate in the implementation and rollout of this website. You can see that we began the process in April and really concluded the majority of the work through the beginning of July. Yet the district maintained that it was better not to introduce this new website at the beginning of the school year and create chaos with both staff and parents as to where to go to find content and look up things. So we did a delayed rollout so that we could get through the beginning of the school year, And the website went live October 2nd. And we utilized these parent-teacher conference days to bring in some support staff to do this, the site launch consulting training through Blackboard. And we did that here at the district office. So it was really a concerted effort, coordinated effort in many ways. And I think that overall it was very smooth as a result of the planning that went into this. Improve pupil transportation communications. We're going to utilize the website to do so. A lot of our information requests that come from the public come in a couple different service areas, pupil transportation being one of those. So because the school district, we do outsource the majority of our pupil transportation functions. However, we do maintain all routing is in-house. So we have routing specialists in our pupil transportation departments. We design the routes, and we ensure that we have efficient routing. And as a result of that, we also have the bus stop requests that come to us to make modifications or adjustments to existing routes. So one of the things that we want to do to get on the front end of this process to make sure that we're not processing unnecessary applications is we want to inform the public as to what are our limitations with approving routes, because many folks out there do not know, not aware that we have Alaska Administrative Code, which we must adhere to in terms of authorizing new routes based on the state of Alaska funding this program. So one of the things we're doing is we're creating a flow chart diagram that explains the different times in which we would evaluate routing requests, and yes or no leads them to the next step in the process. But specifically with the establishment of regular routes under 4 Alaska Administrative Code 27.011, any route extension needs to be on maintained roads. So that would be one of the big indicators. Any route extension that requires duplicate miles would have to serve at least 15 students if it's within a mile. And if it goes beyond a mile and it requires duplicate miles, it has to serve at least 3 students. So we have some limitations with what we can approve, and we want the community to know that and understand some of those limitations ahead of time so they don't get into a position where they're wasting their time or conversely we're wasting our time with unnecessary applications. The other thing is we want our folks and our community members to know who to call when. It's kind of a complicated system in that there's a number of different entities that are working together to provide this transportation service. We got First Student, Bunker and Bunker, Glacier View Transportation, and then of course the district's transportation department that handles routing and oversees the contract management or administration. So what we've done is made sure we've produced all of the relevant contact information for our bus contractors, as well as information as to when you would need to call certain entities to get your issue resolved. And then lastly, we have a pupil transportation handbook that kind of goes over all of the procedurals of the services that we provide in the systems and student behaviors, and we're updating all of that information and making sure that's available on our website as well. And then lastly, what we want to do is create a virtual space or a web page, landing page, for ways that we could communicate with how to support MSBSD. So we have a couple different avenues in which we want folks to, and primarily this is the business community that we want to communicate to with this web page, letting them know that there is Alaska does have an education tax credit, which provides credits against their state taxes for cash contributions to educational entities. And so we have developed a flyer. We have information on how to receive those credits through the State Department of Revenue. And it's just an education piece that we want to make sure folks are aware of, and business entities, if they so inclined, will take advantage of this tax credit. So we'll have a page for ways to support Matsuburo School District. That'll be first and foremost, the tax credit will be mentioned, and then we'll also link to something that we've been doing for years through the career and technical education, but that we want to reinforce as kind of a one-stop shop of ways that our business community can get involved with schools, is we have the Matsuburo School District Partnership Alliance. It's kind of predicated, or its tenets are on based on a how-to guide for school business partnerships from the Council for Corporate and School Partnerships. And it highlights a number of different areas: networking to build relationships between schools, the district, community, and businesses, trying to leverage student learning opportunities through our business community, capacity to advance our mission to prepare all students for success, and then partnering for specific goals and activities that tend to benefit students, and that would be those school-based partnerships. But all of that would be kind of laid out and designed to where folks could go to one webpage and get a lot of information on how to partner with the Mat-Su Borough School District, both monetarily and through in-kind contributions that they may have access to and resources they may have access to. So that is how Business Services is supporting this initiative and this board goal. And that concludes my presentation, unless there's questions.
Member Rutherford.
Thank you for that bus information. That's really good. That's really important and has been missing. And also for the one thing that wasn't mentioned in parent communication was how amazing our system is that lets you know as soon as your student is absent. Not just for the day, but just misses one class in the upper grades. If it's just pulled out for one class, you get an email or right off the bat that says, your kid was marked absent in period number 3, in case you didn't know. And I've been with other people when that happened to me, and they were, it does what? Really? They're very impressed. But my question was about the website update, and a lot of teachers have on their individual teacher page links for students. And I noticed that several of those now were not working because, probably because of the update. So did they all, or are they all getting some training and information about making sure they look at their personal page within the district, their classroom page, and update their links?
Yes, with any implementation, you have a period of kind of cleanup for just things that we didn't anticipate, and rolling out the data and making it live just creates a number of different things that are troubleshooting opportunities. But we did, over the last 2 days, we did do the site-based training. We did the training here for the site launch consulting through Blackboard. That was also recorded and will be made available to all staff so that they can be familiar and know how to do some of these things, or at least, I shouldn't say all staff, I'm not totally confident in that. It's gonna be released to the appropriate staff to make a website upgrades. But then the other thing is that we will be continuing to work with schools and make sure that they have the resources they need to update those links and do whatever they need to do on their end to make sure everything's up to speed. I know that both Amy Spargo and myself have been meeting with our technical experts in that area, and where we've identified issues at the district level is we've done a number of cleanup things over the last couple weeks. So it's something that's definitely getting attention, and we have a team of dedicated folks who are continuing to work on that.
Member Michelson.
So with regard to the, just using the example of the bus stops, now is this set up to be somewhat interactive, where if I wanted to move a bus stop to what I thought was a better place, is this interactive where I would do that petition over or through the website somehow, or is this kind of information that you continually update so that I can go and read and that I know more when I make my petition to do that?
Yes, that's a good question, Member Michelson. I think what we really want to do is wherever we have the opportunity, especially on the service side, is to create a self-service opportunity. You know, where, and that's what we're accustomed to, especially when we go out and do any type of e-commerce. We know that that's how we interact with companies these days, and to some extent, that's the expectation when our parents are on our website, is that they should get some level of service just from the web content and the ability to interact with the district at that level. The flow chart is designed to be static content. So the idea with that flow chart that's represented on the screen is this will be a display, and it really is what it allows, I guess, in the self-service area, is that it allows a parent to understand the process before they complete a form and make a request. And this is something we modeled off of the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District. They have this, a similar flow chart. Crystal Smith, our pupil transportation supervisor, has been identifying things to clean up over the last couple of years. She's done a phenomenal job with identifying some of these things, and so she's embraced this and is moving ahead with just trying to get that awareness out there that we're held to certain standards and regulations, and we can't just arbitrarily extend a bus stop or change a bus stop based on what someone might think is in the best interest of students in that area. Does that answer your question? It's not going to be an interactive tool per se, not at least not in the way that I would define interactive, but it would be a good place to get information and then decide whether or not you want to proceed with a bus stop change request.
So in a year, we'll be able to run, like just for example, run some data on how many people clicked on this potentially and, you know, how useful will it be? You know, some people are probably still just pick up the phone and call Luke or pick up the phone and call somebody at district office and ask these questions that are already answered here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So some kind of human behavior there that we're trying to like encourage.
Sure. I don't know what type of analytics are available through the website. That's something that we could follow up with later on. I do believe it has that capability to track page visits, and that's pretty routine for websites these days. But I think one of the things anecdotally that we could track is the number of bus stop requests that come through and that we have to process. So what it is it's a PDF fillable form. The parent fills it out. They cite the reasons why, and they send that in. And then we have a response that is either an approval or a denial. So there's follow-up communication. And then if the parent wants to appeal that decision, it goes to myself, and then it's further evaluated. We do a lot of road checks throughout that process, and it's a pretty lengthy process. But not all of them appeal. Some of them understand after the first response that, okay, the district can't just unilaterally approve this. They're held to standards that the state has. And so at that point, something sinks in and they realize, okay, there's additional requirements that the district has that they have to uphold, and therefore I'm not gonna request an appeal of this. And so what we think is we can mitigate or lessen the number of bus stop requests by just having the information up there for parents to view before they click on the PDF fillable form and submit it. Does that make sense? Just saving everyone a little bit of time. Thank you.
Mr. Michael, are you ready?
I am. Before you, you see two documents. One was written by Michael Moore. Raise your hand, wave it. And the other written by Ava Venema. Michael Moore is a junior at Matsu Career and Technical High School. Ava Venema is a senior at Palmer High School and is the current Secretary of Student Advisory Board. Slightly different from my traditional report. Mainly we're going to be talking about what's happened at OSOG this time, and then we'll update you on what's going on around the district or next time around. So Ava, if you want to come on up here really quick. So Ava's resolution, she brought through Student Advisory Board on behalf of Student Advisory Board and her school, and I'll let her take it from here.
Okay. Good evening, school board members. My name is Ava Venema, and like Charlie said, I'm a senior at Palmer High School. And this is my second resolution I have written and passed at the Alaska Association of Student Governments Conference. This resolution was written with the intent of making Palmer High School's academic recovery period, known as FARM, more effective and give Palmer's resources a more active use, which I will get into later what those resources are. Currently, no matter what class a student may be failing, students are required to sit in their fourth period classroom between the end of said class and the beginning of lunch. Some students use their time well, but others are not pushed to improve their grades. While the percentage of students in FARM has been decreasing over the years, it's now at 31% of the total students have to be in FARM. We wanted to create a general plan that outlines why students should attend the core class they are failing the most. Teachers would no longer be the sole resource provided to students. Student mentors and tutors would now help students during FARM instead of after school. Laptops and desktops would be used to provide tutoring websites such as Khan Academy. Because we see a correlation between failing grades due to failing tests and not missing work, students would have more options on working on current information rather than focusing on work past. By students having these additional resources, as well as being supervised by a teacher in the subject area, this general plan will produce positive results for Palmer High. In the future, the co-author and I will work with administration to put this plan into action and include those in younger classes to take our roles if this plan takes more time than anticipated. So at a local level, what OSSA can do for schools and the school district is that students write a resolution on something they believe needs to be changed or something they want to add or bring back. So some examples, at the district level, Palmer High School brought a resolution to bring off-campus lunch to our district, which passed unanimously at OSSOG and is now currently in use for our district. At a school level, an example is that Wasilla High created a resolution to decorate their graduation caps last year's, and that passed. So SAB is a big part of writing resolutions. The executive board teaches middle schoolers and high schoolers how to write a resolution and how to vote on it, the language we use on debating resolutions, and pushes students to think, how can I change our school district or schools or state or nation for the better? So are there any questions on the school district or even this resolution?
Next, we have Michael Moore, a junior at Mattsu Career and Technical High School. His resolution has a little bit of a wider scope than just one class period at a specific high school. I'll let him go from there.
Hello, my name is Michael Moore, as Charlie just said. My resolution was to change the grading scale, like the ADF grading scale we all know so well, to more of a badge-based system. It would like incrementally reward you for furthering your learning. I would like to start by saying it actually did not pass, but I got a lot of support from different people and different things. Ended up not passing due to I was up there for about an hour debating this. It was a lot of fun, and it brought up a lot of interesting discussion. Am I okay? So I think that's one of the main things OSSOG can do for the students in school is that we had this awesome debate about my resolution, and it brought up discussion points that I think we haven't had before. But actually, you know, let me talk about my resolution real quick. So I had this idea, and I was looking at the grading system, and I just was like, you know what? I think we could do better. And so I started doing research, and eventually I realized, you know, like, there's so many problems with this, and I decided to, like, look into it, and there was this idea for, like, a badge-based system. Never been widely implemented, so I decided, you know, I'm going to present it at OSSOG. And I thought it was, and even though it failed, it was a cool experience to be able to do that. And so, yeah, it was just good to have OSSOG. Any questions? Yeah, all right.
Mr. Moore, have you discussed this with your principal, with Mr. Okeson?
I actually have not. I was planning on discussing with it after it passed, but I am now considering discussing with him regardless of it not passing, because I think he'd be interested in it,
okay.
Possibly.
Perhaps this is something, it has merit. And I think that this is something that you should get a consensus from some principals, have discussion with them about it and see how they feel, principals, assistant principals, guidance counselors, because the only roadblock I potentially see in this is how this would translate for when one is applying for college.
That could be
a deterrent. So that would be my only suggestion to you. I would not give up. I would persevere, but I would go and I would seek counsel from some of those folks that you look up to at school and certainly outside of career tech. Assistant Superintendent Spargo would be a wonderful person to have conversation with. Uh-huh. And I think that it might give you more insight to what you're trying to do and probably give you more speed to get where you want to go.
All right, well, thank you. I will definitely consider that. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
So the reason I called these people in here is just to show the wide scope that OSSOG has. There's resolutions all of... from fundamentally changing the very fabric of our school system to asking for a tutor for a lunch-based study hall. And there's the whole range in between. It is amazing that this district has allowed OSOG to send over 500 students to Wasilla 2 years in a row just to have this amazing experience. And I just want to bring it up to the whole school district that it is awesome, and I really recommend every high schooler or every future high schooler for thinking about going. The next OSOG is at Tri-Valley High School on April 26th.
Thank you, Mr. Michael. And now, Assistant Superintendent Spargo, you're on again.
Thank you, Dr. Dierman. Tonight, for the superintendent's report in Dr. Goyette's absence, Assistant Superintendent Fulp will discuss our final count that we submitted and the final projection and revenue that is corresponding to that.
Okay, I'll just take a minute while we pull up that presentation. Just want to do what I'll call a preliminary actual count for the student count period. So that count period went through October 2nd through October 27th. And those were the 20 days in which we administered the count period with the rest of the state of Alaska. And as you'll be able to see in this diagram here, our chart is, we started on the first day with, and again, all of these numbers are preliminary. They need to be kind of verified and kind of comb through before we submit them to the state. And I'll get to those due dates at the end of the presentation. But in any case, we started with 18,944 on the first day and ended with 18,912 on the last day. So you're looking at a variance of just over 30 students. And really the point there is that for the most part, our student count remained pretty consistent throughout the count period. And so when we track this, the thing that I will mention is, we've mentioned it before, is the way the state has us administer this count period is they look to enrollment and not attendance. And the reason why we have those partial FTEs, the decimal places that we submit, is because we can have two different ways in which a student is counted as a partial FTE, and I'll just use some basic math to demonstrate this. Let's say we have a student who's a full-time student and they make it through 10 days of the count period and then they transfer to the Anchorage School District. Well, at that point, the Matsuburo School District counts them as 0.5 because we're tracking enrollment because they were a full-time student for half of the count period. And then Anchorage School District would also count them as 0.5. And then that's what the state does, is they make sure that that child is 0.5 plus 0.5, it was 1.0, they make sure that Anchorage is in 0.6 and we're 0.5, because no student, it's all based on the student, same student ID statewide, no student can be over 1.0. So that's the reconciliation process that'll drag out over the next couple months, but that's a way that we could have a decimal place as we track this. The other way is if we have a student that's attending our schools for just a portion of the day. So that's also spelled out in the way that we count students. Moving forward, you can see that as we compare our projected enrollments to our actual counts, you can see that a couple different variances. Like for instance, just point out first grade, we were a little lower than we anticipated, whereas 12th grade, we had more students than we anticipated. Overall, we were pretty close to our district-wide projection, and I'll get to that in just two slides here. The next slide I wanna show is just these by school type. Again, you can see that for middle schools, we were over what we had projected, but for elementary and high schools, we came in a little bit under. Charter schools came in over what they had projected, and that brings up the point that charter schools are responsible for their own projection. They simply submit that to the district office. So where are we at? With our overall student count of roughly 18,920, we have an increase of 126 over last year, so we actually did grow as a school system. However, we had projected a overall growth of close to 300 students, and we had a shortfall of 156 students from the projection. And so that's what the number of shortfall from the projection is, what we will true up in our winter revision and align our revenue to match what we anticipate getting from the state based on our count data. And then you can see here, the change in revenue. It's just a portion of a percentage point of all of our expected revenue within our operating fund. So we believe at this point, again, this is preliminary and we still have some auditing that needs to occur with the student information that we will be submitting to the state, but we believe that we're under $1 million difference. We are short, but it's not greater than $1 million. So somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million is what we'll bring forward in the winter revision, most likely, based on the information we have today. And then lastly, I just want to point out the state timeline for this. It's somewhat interesting. It's based on state statute, but the work that we'll be doing over the next few days is working based off of the information gathered through October 27th. We will be working on a projected enrollment that's due to the state by November 3rd. That's per Alaska Statute 14-17-500. Districts shall prepare and submit to the department by the November 5th of each fiscal year an estimate of its ADM. I spoke with the Department of Education today about some of these dates. I've just never got the answer on it. We just always adhere to it. But why is it that we have to do the projection before we submit the actual count? And it's just based on state statute. So it's back from the 70s, the way it's always been done. But what the department does do with our projected enrollment, and they inform me of this today, is they actually take all of the school district's projected enrollment and forward that on to the Office of Management and Budget in the governor's office as quickly as possible. Because then, of course, the governor's office staff and OMB is working on preparing the governor's budget, which is released December 15th. So there's a lot of work that goes into this. And because education is such a large appropriation for the state legislature's operating budget, they need this data as soon as possible to complete their budget work. So that's how the information's fed. And then also, as defined in state statute 14-17-600, student count periods, it specifies or prescribes that within 2 weeks after the end of the 20-day school count period, each district shall report its ADM for that count period. So the count ended October 27th. 2 weeks after that is November 10th, and that is why we have to submit our projected enrollment before our actual count data for the current year. Go figure. Any questions? Thank you.
Okay, will someone please make a motion to move the consent agenda, which includes the minutes of October 18th, 2017, request for grant acceptance, Alternative Schools Coalition, request for grant acceptance, Big Brothers, Big Sisters Partnership, request for grant acceptance, McKinney-Vento Homeless Education Act, request for grant acceptance, Obesity Prevention School District Partnership, request for grant acceptance, Project AWARE, request for grant acceptance, Suicide Awareness Prevention and Postvention, request for grant acceptance, Tobacco Awareness and Prevention.
I move the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, the consent agenda has been moved and seconded. We will now take a 10-minute break. Action items. Would someone please make a motion for action item A, legislative priorities?
I move action item A, legislative priority.
I'll second that.
Okay, I believe we had an administrative report during our last meeting. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to make public comment on our legislative priorities? Seeing none, is there any discussion by the board? Member Michelson.
I apologize. I should have asked this question last time, probably when we had a fuller discussion on it. But under other priorities, number five, I don't quite understand the rationale. When a minor has a right to medical and dental services as outlined in statute 25, examination and treatment of minors should also be extended to outpatient mental health treatment. Can I just get a little explanation of that?
Through the chair, that request came to us through our Project Aware counselors, and they are finding that our statute does, there's some confusion about mental health treatment as being a medical treatment. And so they wanted to just clarify that as we further our partnerships with community agencies providing services in our schools, we wanted to make sure that we had standing under the Alaska statute to further that partnership in a specific way.
Thank you for that. If I may have a follow-up question on that, there are four items under other part five, excuse me, and are they in order of priority? I tend to think not. They're just there. So these aren't in any kind of order of priority. I just want to get a confirmation on that.
I'll defer to Assistant Superintendent Fulp on that.
I'm sorry, I'll need him to repeat the question.
I think I can answer that. I think the answer is that they're in order of recency. Some of them are carryovers from previous years, and so they're, and then as new things came up, we added them to the end. So rather than priority, they're more like chronological of how we've been dealing with them in our district. Is that pretty accurate?
Sure.
Member Walton?
Last time there was concern about there being too many items, and while I think there's a lot of items, we've set priorities for funding and for capital requests, and then the others are things that don't fit under either of those, and I think it's a good mix of things. The priorities for funding are pretty much the same priorities as other school districts across the state. And I think that, you know, maybe we have more charter schools than other places, so maybe number three wouldn't be there, but I believe that the others are going to be supported by the rest of the school districts, and I think they're part of the resolution package for AASB. And I just wanted to say that if you think there's too many, the funding, those are the areas, the funding and the capital requests are the two areas that really hurt us. The others, I'm not saying don't vote for them, but I think, I mean, we're taking the whole thing as a whole. I thought long and hard about whether there were too many, and I really think that it's important that all of these are listed as priorities, so if somebody was going to divide it out, I would be opposed to that.
Member Michelson.
Yeah, and that was my concern last time, was that if you get a lot of priorities, nothing's a priority after a while, and I would advocate for trimming this list down, but I don't think now's the time, of course, to do that. But I'm going to support that we adopt these for sure. But, you know, just like with the resolutions with the association, too, over time, kind of paring down so that a priority list can be like 5 to 8 things that are clearly priorities. There's a lot of things that are important, but really, what are the priorities? I think that's what kind of separates really important things, necessary things. And just for example, I think the student information system that just came up, it seems like, with that, and that seems to be a huge priority for us. The other thing I just wanted to ask, I guess, is the process from here on out. Who takes this and shepherds this? Is this our administration and we as our own kind of advocates for our school district, or do we instruct our lobbyists to take these and run with them and find out if he or she can find advocates in our own legislative contingent that can, you know, adopt and really actively work instead of us kind of hoping and wishing they'll pick some of these things up, that for paying our lobbyists what we pay them, that we could instruct them to take these forward, find an advocate, find a champion, and let's roll with it. So that's a question and a comment, I guess.
Assistant, do you want to come up and field questions? I know that was part of our plan here, and I just want to invite you to the podium so that we can smoothly move through these.
Thank you. Just to address Member Michelson's question, I think that all of the things that you mentioned there, Ray, we do, we move forward with letting our lobbyists know that these are the board's priorities going into the legislative session. We work to produce material within our administration. So our PIO will take this and produce handouts and pamphlets. And I know that Dr. Goyette will supervise all of that and has some ideas for how to make sure that the priorities do stand out in terms of making sure that it doesn't get all lost in the shuffle, being that we do have a number of them. We tried to break them out by category and make it as concise as possible. But the thing that this list does provide us as well is it helps us as administration and also our lobbyists to kind of monitor any pre-filed bills and to see where the intentions of different legislators are going into the session, or focuses or priorities of their own. And if we can partner and get ahead of any testimony, this also helps us to respond to testimony quickly if a bill is introduced during the session and we know that our board's supportive of that concept. Then we can produce testimony, both written and oral, to support the initiative or the bill as it moves through the process. This certainly does help in terms of overall direction, and we just move forward on all fronts, if that answers your question.
You know, I just wonder sometimes if, you know, in past years have we, I mean, if I was a legislator and you, and in our current economic times, and you came to me with a list of 13 priorities, I would ask you, what are your top three? You know, I think it just to cut to the chase, because we don't really have, you know, a lot of leeway with funding, it doesn't seem like. And I don't know if we ever get asked that, or if our lobbyist gets asked that, you know, from just to kind of call it down and, you know, what is it you're really after? And I know that has to be mixed in with political climate and with, you know, certain degrees of support one legislator will give another, one item over another. I know that they're all those kind of realities that you deal with at the time that they present themselves, for sure. But it's, you know, I'm kind of rambling now, but I'm just, those are just my concerns about that. Who's going to really take it and run with it and shake the tree a little bit, see what falls out.
Member Michelson, I just want to add that, we specifically set aside those that didn't require funding for the climate, that so that we could have wins in areas that would further our programs and further our innovation in particular, that don't have a fiscal notice assigned to them. And so we think that those are going to be things that we can build alliances around, and those. And then as far as the fiscal notes, business services and Dr. Goyette in particular has met with all of our legislative delegation, and one of the reasons these are coming out so early is that they're having a meeting in December and they wanted these in advance, and so those are going to them there.
And just to follow up on that, I think in terms of what our top priorities are, I think it's almost evidenced in the way that this document's laid out. The funding priorities are first. They supersede the capital list or the other items. I think the elephant in the room is when we go to speak with our legislators, they know that we need operational funds. That's what makes this system go, and we rely on those appropriations, those annual year-to-year appropriations, in order to make all of this work. And so they understand that, and I think that evidence based on the funding priorities laid out within this document, it's very clear that we need operating funds. We even get down to, for instance, item number four. It's almost a defense strategy. Don't shift additional responsibilities for the PERS, TERS, unfunded liability onto school districts and municipalities. So that would be a way to defend our operating funds that we currently have. But yeah, it's really about having enough providing that we have enough resources to keep up with our expenses, and especially during this time. I think rather than our top three, I haven't been in too many offices where they've asked us our top three. I think most of it's pretty clear we do need funding at this point in time, especially with the BSA being held at $5,930 for the last 2 years. And no ongoing one-time funds. But I think one of the things that they do ask us, as Ms. Spargo alluded to, was that what are the things that we can help you with that don't require funding? And so that's why we've included the other items, and that's just been a kind of a relevant piece to add to the conversation when our delegation doesn't believe that they can assist with funding or increasing funding at this time.
Member Walton.
With these legislative priorities and the development of the Blue Book, we will probably be hit with our test scores and our progress and things like this. I assume that our legislative Blue Book will show how we use the funds to increase the things. We're not on that right now, but I want to make sure that we don't lose sight of getting information out there that says how this will be used. I mean, you have it on here, but how it really will affect our students and that kind of thing.
Dr. Goyette has been throughout the community talking about choice, growth, and return on investment. And when she talks about return on investment, she's very clear about linking those things for people. So I think that is a point well taken, yeah.
Member Michael.
I would just like to speak in favor of number 5 under other priorities. One of the most consistent things that comes up at Student Advisory Board is student mental health. We have a committee dedicated to it. We have, it comes up every 2 meetings at the highest in the high school discussions. I really appreciate the school board taking this as one of their legislative priorities. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fulp. If there's no more discussion by the board, are we ready to vote? That passes unanimously. Moving on to action item B. Please, someone make the motion for action item B, school board committee assignments.
I move action item B, school board committee assignment.
Second. We have not had an administrative report. We are going to have discussion at this time. And is there anyone in the public who would like to come forward and address the board on committee assignments at this time? Seeing none, we all have a list. And so if you would allow me, I would like to kick this off with our first committee, the Joint Borough Assembly District School Board Committee on School Issues. It's a mouthful. There has been discussion on this. And due to the fact that we currently do not have bonds out there that require a lot of meetings and monthly discussion going on, and we have good conversation going on between the district and the school district, the borough, excuse me, and the school district now, we are going to ask, with the board's approval, the mayor to change this to an ad hoc committee, so that it is still there, and when we need it, we can convene it. And I would like to see that our primary board members, Member Rutherford and Member Welton, remain there if they so choose. A letter has been drafted to send to the mayor if the board agrees with this. So at this time, if you want to have discussion about this, we can have discussion and move forward from there. Member Walton?
Being the oldest member of the board here and knowing what has happened in the past, right now we have a really good relationship with the borough. But in the past, we have not had good communication, and that's the purpose of the joint committee has been to really air some of the differences and to work together on a lot of things. And I agree that it seems like we're just, you know, this is what we're doing, this is what you're doing, and that's it. I think that you're right to say, you know, we have too many meetings and maybe we need to not have as many. I would still like to see that there's a joint committee meeting sometime between March and September, because there is no school board assembly meeting at that time.
That's a good idea. And as it stands as an ad hoc, we could always convene one during that time. That's fine. Okay. Does that, Member Rutherford?
Yeah, I think we should be prepared, because I don't know how it's going to be received on the other end, as much as they may be relieved to not have one more meeting as well. It is really good fostering the relationship. So if there's resistance to just calling one as needed, we could propose a quarterly meeting or even a semi-annual meeting, just so that there definitely is one on the books of touching bases. Because I'm not sure, yeah, I just don't know. I mean, they're different depending on who's there, and of course the mayor hasn't even made one lately. But, you know, sometimes the mayor comes a lot and sometimes they just send assembly people. But so I just don't know how it'll be received on the other end and whether or not they'll feel they need to make any, how bound they are by ordinance. But we should be prepared with alternatives.
Member Tremor?
I tend to agree with Member Rutherford that maybe even a biannually at least or a quarterly suggestion might be a better option on that.
Member Michelson.
So, I mean, one of the options I think we have here is to go every other month during the school year, but that might turn out to quarterly. I don't know. I don't know what the math is on that, but it seems like ad hoc committees sometimes don't get called, and then this kind of this relationship building by virtue of just being in the same room, you kind of lose that, I think, a little bit. And maybe now more than ever we need to be sitting in the same room on some kind of a schedule instead of an ad hoc. I guess if it goes to ad hoc, it becomes like issue driven rather than, I mean, I shouldn't speak too much about this, but because I'm not on the committee, but it, for those on the committee, if it was ad hoc, what would be a reason to have a meeting? And that couldn't be dealt with in one of our joint meetings that we have. I don't know, I just...
Member Trimmer.
Just through my short experience on the board and through serving on this committee, when another committee that was joint with the borough was trying to be kicked back off, that had been kind of placed on the back burner, it took a long time to get something going again on the committee that had been placed on the back burner. So I think if we do away with it to an ad hoc point, it's going to be hard to get it going again if it needs to be.
Member Rutherford, since you are the chair of this committee, what would be your ideal for this? As a time frame for it to meet, because monthly, I think we agree that monthly is
Yeah, I agree. Right now, just with very little going on in the way of joint projects and issues, thankfully, monthly has been, they've been over, and the meetings have been over in half an hour at the most. So, but I would really like to see quarterly. And, you know, we skip the July meeting anyway, so it might be that we just end up meeting three times if we end up skipping one quarter because we don't need it, and that's done by consensus at the meeting beforehand. But throughout the year, I think quarterly would be really reasonable. I think we can build up enough things, especially sometimes there are land issues that it's nice to hear straight from their lands person. I think quarterly would be ideal.
Okay, so having said that, then it would seem to me, since we recently had one, it would be good that we scheduled one then perhaps, just thinking out loud, perhaps in January. Does that sound good to you? We had one in October. Okay, so then this letter will be revised. I will give it back, and it will be revised and sent on to the mayor then. For revision of meetings, or maybe not even. Member Welton?
Well, we're scheduled for a meeting this next Monday, aren't we?
It hasn't been called.
Okay.
We haven't called.
Oh, okay. Well, and also we have to be appointed by the mayor to that.
Yeah.
Debbie and I do. Okay.
Right. So the next question is, if you two stay, then we'll just send your names over.
Yeah.
If you and
yes.
Member Rutherford choose to stay on this committee, we will just send your names over for the mayor to reappoint you.
Okay. The quarterly sounds good to me. The issue is that we do meet with them in December and then March. January is okay, so I would say April or May for the next one. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Member Rutherford?
If we're going to name months, I do think January, April, July we never meet anyway, but it would be nice to touch bases right before school. So January, April, August, and October, or something like that.
Okay. Thank you. And both of you are willing and desire to stay on this committee? Okay. Moving on to the Borough Area School Site Selection Committee. Our board members are Rutherford and Michelson. You both are staying. Is anyone else? We don't have an alternate there, right? Correct? So we're good to go there. That will remain the same. Construction and Trades. I spoke with Mr. Larson earlier. He wants to remain on there. Members Trimmer and Ruth, you want to remain?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. And our alternate is Rutherford and Michelson. Yes. Thank you. And then Mat-Su Central School. That is myself and Mr. Michelson. We're fine there. Thank you. School board policy. Member Welton had asked to be on that committee. Is that still your desire, Member Welton?
Yes.
Okay. And Member Larson asked to be taken off of that. So Welton on school board policy. Member Ruth?
I'll stay.
You'll stay? And
yep.
Do we need a third person there, do you think?
Yes, since I plan on really looking over all the policies this year, because we're supposed to review all the policies every 2 years, and it has not been done for a little bit.
Okay, so would someone else like to be on the school board policy committee? Member Rutherford has agreed, depending on when you're meeting.
Daytime or evening? It's always daytime. If you expect it'll almost always be daytime, I can do it. I don't have much evening time left.
It seems that we have an agreement that daytimes will be possible.
And the Board Orientation Committee, Rutherford and Larson. Mr. Larson would like to stay there. Member Rutherford, do you want to remain there as well?
What I'd like to try to do is get together once and write down what we learned last time and start, even if it's just bare bones, start some sort of written guidance that can be passed on. We can talk about what we did, what we could have done better, and start writing something down. So even though there aren't any new board members to orient, I would like to meet just a couple times this year and put something in writing.
That sounds good. So, yes, thank you. And then our legislative committee, members Welton, Larson, and our alternate is member Trimmer. Member Welton.
We did not meet last year, mostly because the lobbying and the information that we got from the people, Shauna Crondall and the AASB, kept us up to date with all of that, and we got notices. AASB was very good at sending out notices of saying, you know, there's a hearing today, and here's the times, and here's where you go. I can't do that. I can't be that efficient. I don't know if there's a need. If people think there's a need, then we could do that. So.
Member Trimmer.
And I kind of tend to agree. If there's a need, we can keep it. But at the same time, we're trying to limit our travel and everything. We're not going down there like before, where the legislative committee was traveling to Juneau a couple of times a year. That's not happening now. So, just whether we need it or not.
Yeah, that's a good point. Do we need to maintain this committee? We do have good updates from Juneau, from our person down there, Shauna Crondall, is that her name? And we are kept up to date quite well from our superintendent. And so I wonder, is this a necessary committee? What Is this one, do you think, that we could alleviate?
I think we could delete it at this time.
Delete it? Okay. Anybody opposed to that? No? Okay. It is deleted. Thank you. Okay. So are we satisfied with the work done on this?
She doesn't want it. She's done.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. Okay. So we're going to now, Member Welton.
Board self-evaluation. That stuck on board orientation and committee. I would like to be working on that board self-evaluation. If I could work in conjunction with the new member orientation.
Oh. Okay, so we have board self-evaluation under board orientation. Should we put that under board policy with you?
It's part of our policy that we have.
Why don't we move it?
That we have that. So
okay,
sure. Thank you.
Board policy is now living. I mean, board self-evaluation is now living under board policy with Member Rutherford.
Welton.
I mean, Member Welton. Good grief. Ay, ay, ay. All of these names are looking the same to me now. See? You asked, and you have been given it. Okay. Now, we will take a vote on this. There's no further discussion? Okay, we're ready to vote? It passes unanimously. Thank you all for the work and the input. I appreciate it greatly. Okay, we have no non-action items this evening, and we are now at our second portion of the evening for persons to be heard on non-agenda items. Madam Clerk, would you like to
I will restate that the same rules apply. Please state your name, and you have 3 minutes.
Is there anyone in the audience who would like to address the board at this time? If so, please come forward, state your name, turn on the mic, and you have 3 minutes. Seeing none, we will now move on to future items, future business. November 9th through the 12th is the 2017 AASB Annual Conference at the Anchorage Hilton Hotel. November 15th at 6 p.m., there will be a regular school board meeting here at the central office. Correspondence and board committee reports. Has there been any correspondence or any board committees that have met since our last board meeting that anyone would like to report on at this time? All right, we will now move on to comments from administration and the school board. Assistant Superintendent Spargo.
Thank you, Dr. Dierman. Assistant Superintendent Fulp.
Thank you. Just one comment. I want to remind everyone, this is aligned with the board's second goal, number two, develop excellent educators and leaders, and specifically under the objective of improving employee awareness and engagement around total compensation. The district will be hosting its second annual employee benefits fair this Saturday, November 4th. And it's gonna be right here at the Mat-Su School District Administration Building. From 10 to 2 is the vendor fair. However, we have retirement seminars that are occurring from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. There's flyers that are available for everyone on the district's webpage under the HR department. And we look forward to a really good event. Thank you.
And I just want to thank our student advisory member for Charlie Michael for bringing students to us tonight and for demonstrating the activism that's happening in our student advisory board and at the OSOG conference. I really appreciated that. And I want to invite everyone to the high school fair on November 8th at 4 o'clock in this room. Thanks. Dr. Goyette will be back at the next meeting.
Mr. Michael?
I first like to thank Ava Venema and Michael Moore for coming all the way out. They both do live in Palmer, so not too big of a drive. Also, along with the AASB annual conference, there is also the Youth Leadership Initiative, which is under the umbrella of the Alaska Association of School Boards, or the Association of Alaska School Boards. And I went to that conference. It's a great conference. I know our district has a tradition of sending 2 to 4 students to that, and I appreciate the board for keeping that tradition alive. Thank you.
Member Ruth?
No comment.
Member Walton?
I was kind of active this last week. I did go to the Goose Bay after they came here and gave such a presentation about their Science Friday. I did go, and I spent a little over an hour working with the students and finding the information that they had to go to different stations out on the field, and it was the day that we had the really cold and there was ice everywhere. Students were out there and they were learning about science and about physical activity. And then I did go to the opening ceremony of the OSOG conference, and that was fabulous. And I really, really liked the video that was on that, and hope that it's out there somewhere so we can see it again. It was really impressive. And then Teeland Jazz Band actually played a few numbers for us too, and that was exciting to see. And middle school students really can produce such wonderful music, and I wish we could all go out. I plan on going to see the Colony Middle School musical this week, The Addams Family, and I guess there's still tickets available, folks, so you can all go to that. Thank you.
Member Tremor.
So I appreciate Michael Moore and Ava Venema. I try to say it right. coming in with and sharing their resolutions with us that they presented with Alaska Association of Student Governments. This board has historically taken action based on some of the resolutions that have come out of there. So it's great to have them involved, and we do listen, and we have a record of that. So I also attended a musical at Shaw for my kids, so I know it's musical season. So get out there and see some of those. And some of the sports have slowed down, but wrestling's in full swing. And so get out there and see some of our wrestlers if you get a chance. Thanks.
Member Rutherford?
I just want to say thank you for the focus on parent communication and that presentation today. We can never do enough of that, parent and community communication, and I can definitely say we've gotten better and better at it over the last, certainly the last 5 years that I've been on the board. There are more ways to communicate. I think we are more proactive than we've ever been before about that. I want to thank all the staff members around the district for the time and dedication to parent-teacher conferences earlier this week. I know that that is a chore, especially the upper levels. Some of those teachers have 120, 150, 100, and as many as 180 students. And if even half those parents come in, that's a lot of conferences to do in a short period of time. I want to thank the leadership students who have done so much to help out in their service project here in Palmer, the Halloween Hollow. I was just very proud of them. They conducted themselves very well. It wasn't even a school day. They were in there all day on Halloween at Raven Hall, helping little students and helping the little kids and having fun too. That was great to see. Boy, in this valley, you could really take care of all your art and cultural needs. In the last three weekends in a row, you could have gone to the Glass Menagerie, Man of La Mancha, and the Addams Family. I only made it to one of those, but all high-quality productions, many of them involving our students and staff. I saw a lot of our music students and music teachers down in the orchestra for Men of La Mancha last week, and so they're busy, and I forgot what the last thing was. Thank you very much.
Mr. Michelson.
I'll echo the arts and entertainment theme here. I went to the Addams Family at Colony Middle, my wife and I, and it was just thoroughly entertaining. Absolutely thoroughly entertaining. And Mr. Lambert there has been there since my kids were there a long time ago and just continues to just bubble over with excitement that I think catches those kids and gets them excited about doing that. He is a one-of-a-kind individual, Mr. Lambert is. So I just want to thank Charlie for bringing a couple of your cohorts here tonight. That's the kind of representation I think that student government needs on the school board, is a liaison to the things that you guys are up to and doing and involving people and bringing them in. So I really appreciate you doing that. So thanks for that. And then finally, if we could at some point, today's goal, review parent communication, just towards the end there, I was just thinking about the significance in the use of Facebook, and maybe next time we could hear a little bit about kind of the role that Facebook has in pushing information out and then communicating back and forth with people, and if that's changed much in the last couple of years. I know they have Facebook Live now, and I really don't know what that is, but it might be interesting to see if that's being applied in our district, so... that's all that I have. Thank you.
Mr. Michael, thank you for your great leadership and for all that you're doing with your group and the great ideas that you guys come up with. It's very reassuring
and it's very promising for those of us that sometimes get stuck in the old ways to see new ways being brought forward, and especially being brought forward by the youth of today. It gives us great hope for what lies ahead. So thank you very much for that. And I just want to say thank you to the board for the hard work that we put in tonight. And Assistant Superintendent Spargo, you did a wonderful job sitting up here, and we thank you for that. And I found our board goal number four, while all of them have been interesting and the work being done is important and paramount, I found this one to be most revealing, I think, because I think this gets to the heart of what we really need to do. We really need to do that communication piece with our families and with the public. And one of the board members, I think it was Mr. Michelson, said it or asked the question of Mr. Fulp when he said, well, how do we get them to go to the screen and not pick up the phone? And that is one of those things. And how do we coax people to realize that you can use this as opposed to doing this? So it is going to be a learning curve, as it is for a lot of us as we move along. But we have great people developing it. We have great people teaching it. And it's a win-win in the long run, not only for our parents, but for our students. And that's what it's all about. So thank you very much for the presentation, and thank you for all the hard work that you continue to do on behalf of not only the board, but of our students. So having said that, will someone please make a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
I don't believe there is any objection. Seeing none, it has been moved and seconded. We are adjourned.